Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now back to Ringside with the voice of small business and the champion of the entrepreneur.
Say it now, gentlemen. Undisputed heavyweight champion of the world.
The Small Business Advocate, Jim Blasingame.
We're back. 34 after the hour. Thank you for being part of my day and for allowing me to be part of yours. My website is www.jbsba.com. Don't forget to subscribe to my free newsletter when you get there. And don't forget all the other cool things you can do there on my website, like listen to the over 2,000 archives that we have and the hundreds and hundreds of articles and the opportunity to find out more about our Brain Trust members and link over to them and find out about their books and listen to the archives that we've conducted with them. And so I hope you'll check it out there when you get a chance, jbsba.com. And thanks to our sponsors, it's all free for you. Joe John Duran is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's a new friend, and he's the author of Start It, Sell It, and Make a Mint. He's got a great American story, a great story about success in America, but he didn't start out in America, as you're about to find out. Joe John Duran, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much, Jim. It's really fun to be on.
It's good to have you here. I'm looking forward to a great visit with you and maybe a few more. Joe John, I told the audience that you have a great American story, but it didn't start in America, did it?
No, I grew up in Zimbabwe, which is in southern Africa. I was just sharing, I have a deep, deep southern accent. And came here for college and then started a small investment firm in 1992 here in Los Angeles, because that's where my wife was from. And she supported me as we struggled through all the beginning stages until 2001, when we'd grown it large enough, we had grew it to 17,000 clients and $3 billion under management, and then sold it to a division of GE, GE Financial, and ran it for them for a little while, and then decided to see how I could give back.
And so that's what you're doing now, and that's what you're doing here today, and thank you for that. Congratulations on that great success. Wow, 9 years.
Yeah,
9 years from alpha to omega, from startup to sellout in nine years. That's pretty darn cool. That's pretty fast.
Yeah. No, it's interesting. I interviewed dozens and dozens of folks for the book that I wrote, and I think I was one of the quickest. And I have to tell you, people think it was quick, so it must have been easy. At least I can tell you it wasn't easy.
Well, tell us about before you tell us about all the things that you learned that are some of the positive things. Maybe tell us about some of the mistakes that you made.
Well, I'll tell you, not just me. There were three deadly myths that I call them. I interviewed dozens of people who failed as well, and found three myths that destroyed businesses, which I like to call them the three deadly myths. The first one, most importantly, did you watch the movie Field of Dreams?
Yes.
Kevin Costner?
Uh-huh.
Remember the saying that the folks said, if you build it, they will come?
Right. Uh-huh.
Well, that is a belief that almost every entrepreneur has when they begin. And it is the single biggest cause of business failure. People start up, they have a great idea. They say, well, I'm a great baker and I make great bread, or I have a great product or great idea.
My favorite one of those is somebody who says, you know, I'm a good cook. Why don't I start a restaurant?
Right. Well, they get an idea and then they go ahead and do it, and then they open the doors and there isn't a customer there. They spend no time worrying about how people are going to find out about it. But people don't come automatically just because you build it, even if it's better. The second one, which sort of speaks to a similar area that we were just talking about, which is doing what you love is not necessarily the key to success. You know, the myth is doing what you love will make you successful. Well, you know what? I've interviewed dozens of great people who love designing dresses, who destroyed their business of dress design. A great baker does not make a great bakery owner. So the common thread among all the entrepreneurs who were successful is they really enjoyed running a business. And what they did in the business was secondary.
Right.
There are plenty of people who bake bread who don't necessarily love making bread, but they like running a business that's a bakery.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a common thread. And obviously the book E-Myth talks a lot about that concept. And the third that I think is and proved to be very important was profitable business, not necessarily a successful business. What I mean by that, there are two parts. The first, we all, when you start up, design spreadsheets that show you how you're going to make all kinds of money. The challenge is that before you actually make the money, you've got to fund the growth and the revenue comes later than your expenses do, and so people get caught in these cash crunches.
Mm-hmm.
And interestingly enough, I had interviews with people whose businesses were growing at 50 and 100% that ended up going bankrupt. The lady before was saying, hard to get loans, and they couldn't get the money, and they had to shut the doors. And they said, I never learned to turn business away.
They grew themselves out of business, didn't they?
Exactly, which is a concept that defies logic.
Yeah, and now you're right about that. That's one of the big myths that I talk about as well, Joe John, is that it is possible to be so successful that you can succeed yourself right out of business. And I want to come back and talk some more about these myths a little bit, because I got a couple of comments and questions I want to ask you about them. And we're going to do that right after these messages. We're visiting with our new friend, Joe John Duran, the author of Start It, Sell It, and Make a Mint. 2012, stay with us. Back at 1710. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Thanks for hanging around with me. It's good to be with you. It's good to continue to be with you. And if you just tuned in, welcome aboard. And we're visiting with our new friend, Joe John Duran. We expect him to become an old friend of ours in time. He's the author of Start It, Sell It, and Make a Mint, 20 Wealth-Creating Secrets for Business Owners. That's you and me. And that's the reason why when I saw Joe John's book, I wanted him to be on the show to talk to us about this. Joe John, you just gave us what you call the three deadly myths. If you build it, they will come. Doing what you love will make you successful. That's a myth, you say. And profitable, and just because you're successful and you got plenty of business and you're profitable doesn't mean you're going to be able to fund the growth of your business. I'm paraphrasing your myths a little bit.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah, a profitable business is not necessarily a successful business.
Right, because you got to be able to fund the growth, and most of us can't create enough profit. If one of the things that talking about that third one there, Joe John, is one of the things I tell people is, okay, how much do you want to grow a year? And I say, oh, well, about 10%. Okay, well, how much is your profit? Oh, it's about 1%, 1% of sales. So where are you going to get that other 9%? They say, oh.
It's very hard to grasp. And also just the timing of cash flows. You know, if you typically aren't going to get great terms buying products, but everyone expects to delay payments to you. So, so that bridging the gap can be – that's – typically what creates the blow-up event for a lot of entrepreneurs.
Right. That's the gap between accounts receivable days and accounts payable days. And if you don't know how to do those, are two calculations that every small business owner must learn.
You got it. And I would suggest that success is not measured in money alone. If you end up blowing your family up or you end up being a slave to the business, are you actually successful?
Right.
I would suggest that we as humans are not put on this planet to work all day, and we were talking about this during the break.
Mm-hmm.
Very important that you remember what you're doing all this for.
Well, you worked really hard, Joe John, in that 9 years that you launched your business and got it going. You worked really hard, but did you ever consider yourself a workaholic during that time?
Absolutely not. And my wife was always my partner. I worked hard, and especially hard those first few years. You know, I was traveling all over the country. And the most important thing is that my wife was my partner. She supported and paid the rent the first few years. So I can tell you that for me, what worked in our relationship, and everyone's different, but for us, what worked is she was a part of it from the beginning. And she wasn't coming to the shop, but I'd come home and unload. And she was my partner, and so
she was your safe harbor.
Doing it for us. Made all the difference in the world to have somebody who shares the voyage with you.
Well, the reason I mentioned the workaholic thing is because sometimes people, they worry about becoming workaholic, and they have a hard time understanding, wondering whether they are a workaholic. And to me, it's really simple. Working really hard is okay, but when you do it to the point where you forsake everything else but the work, then that's when you become a workaholic.
And I'll share with you a couple of at least one interesting story. The common thread among the people who had sold businesses for millions and millions of dollars, they all said the same thing about their feelings after the initial jubilation of getting the money, that they felt like they'd had a death in the family because they lost this huge part of their identity.
Mm-hmm.
And those people who worked the hardest, who denied and sacrificed their families on the voyage, suffered the most when they sold their business. Yes, they got the money, but then they go through this huge identity crisis. So it's very important to remain balanced. Remember, if you don't have friends and you don't have family, you sacrifice everything for the business. You end up paying just a terrible price.
But Joe John, we're being a little bit modeling here.
Sorry.
But no, I'm doing it too. But what I'm getting at is I do think it's important that we provide these cautionary tales for our audience. But the book says, start it, sell it, and make a mint. Let's talk about let's move over and just so that people will realize that, you know, folks, you do have to be realistic. You have to pay attention to what's going on. You do have to be to get some training and some experience in what you're doing. You have to be smart. You can't be naive. You can't be a Pollyanna about things. If you build it, they might not come if you don't do it the right way. But let's move over and talk about when it all works, when it clicks. Talk to us about that, Joe.
Well, I'll tell you, for me, the ultimate goal and why I talk about building a sellable business is that it means that you have a business that's transferable. And the number one secret, and as you know, it has 20 secrets to making this happen.
Mm-hmm.
And I found these secrets to be almost inviolate. They were true of every business that we interviewed. The common thread, the most important thing you can do is to build a business that can survive without you.
Mm-hmm.
I think about a business like a child. And if you have a child, it's going to grow, and you want them to be disciplined and to grow and then to eventually leave home and succeed and thrive without you. And if you build the right kind of business, it should be able to move and allow you to have vacations and take time off and generate cash flow. You're not going to be able to check out completely.
Right.
But the dream scenario is you create a business that really gives you freedom. And frankly, no country in the world is like America. And I've traveled the world. And I can share with you, there's no place in this world where you can accomplish the things that you can in America. And owning a business, to me, is the easiest way to do that. So what we try to do is find the 20 things that people didn't know that they couldn't find in a regular business, because so many of the books written are about Intel and GE,
mm-hmm.
companies that are fantastic, but their issues are totally different than you and I would confront starting a business.
One of Joe John's vital secrets is run the company like a business, not a hobby. That's very important.
Well, we have under the leadership section some of those insights like that, like learn to delegate, don't abdicate, the importance of finding people that you can trust with decisions, and basically just putting a mindset of how do I want this business to survive, and asking the question, I guess we're going to...
Yeah, hold on to that thought, Joe John. When we come back, folks, I'm going to get Joe John to tell us about how to leverage people, how to use people so that we're not 100% extension of ourselves as we start our businesses, sell them, and make a mint. 20, no, actually 10 till. Stay with us. We'll be right back with Joe John Duran.
When you're down and troubled.
We're back at 7 till.
And you need a helping hand.
I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and our new friend is Joe John Duran. He's a chief financial analyst and a certified financial analyst, I should say, CFA, and he's the author of Start It, Sell It, and Make a Mint. This is a book that chronicles partly his own story and success story here in America, as well as things that he's learned and things that he's learned from other people. The subtitle is 20 Wealth-Creating Secrets for Business Owners. Joe John, give us your website, please.
If you go to www.startitsellit.com. Startitsellit.com.
All right.
And we have on that site lots of, everything's free. We don't charge for anything, but we have lots of resources. Most importantly, we have one thing that I think those listening who are thinking or have just started a business really should do. We have what's called an entrepreneur scorecard. You go on, it asks you 10 questions, and we'll give you a grading for aptitude and a grading for skills for each of the key areas. And then it tells you how to improve your grade. And I've just had just awesome response from the thousands and thousands of people who've taken it. And I think it'll provide anyone who takes the really great insights into themselves and teach them some things that they should know.
Well, folks, some of you are subscribing to my newsletter. Some of you read my articles in the newspaper. You know that I've written recently about some of the reasons why people fail in business. And it sounds to me like, Joe John, if they took your test and paid attention to it, maybe they'd be more likely to succeed in their businesses.
And that's really what this is all about for me. If I can help just one of the millions of people who start a business who weren't quite prepared, that'd be great. And most importantly, if I can help somebody who started and wants to be really successful and can make it happen, you know, I'm happy that I could make that happen.
Mm-hmm. And of course, the test, the test that you were just talking about, that's free too, right? Like all the things.
Everything is completely free. We have newsletters, everything. You know, all of this is my way of giving back. So there's no charge for anything that we do.
We appreciate that. Joe John, let's move over and talk about what we were mentioning is before we took the break, and that's how to leverage people. Someone once said to me when I was a consultant full time, I was all by myself. Someone said, "You know what? You're 100% extension of yourself. You have no human leverage at all in your business." And that hit me right between the eyes. And mm-hmm. and we all need to think about that, don't we?
Well, it's really, really important. And one of the challenges, we have several secrets about hiring people, but one of the most important things you can do is if you know yourself as an entrepreneur, it's really important, because what you really want to do is hire people whose skills complement yours, don't mirror them. If you hire people that are just like you, your business is not going to be balanced. Your likelihood of success is very low. You get people who, if you're a sales type person, you get a person who's more operationally minded and complement your skill sets, you have a much higher likelihood of success. Because the real secret to success in a business as in life is balance. So that's one of the very important secrets. The second one is that skills can be learned and attitudes cannot. So you're much better off.
That's my favorite. That's one of my favorite of your secrets, Joe John, is what you just said. Say it again, please.
Skills can be learned, but attitudes cannot. It's amazing how many people hired the better resume and ended up totally dissatisfied with the person they hired. It's interesting, but at the end of the day, you hire people for their skills, but you fire them for their attitude.
Right.
So get somebody with the right attitude. They'll learn the skills in 6 months. They'll be up the curve if they really have the right attitude.
I've said for years, hire intelligence, hire attitude, teach them the rest.
Because, you know, as you and I both know, one of the biggest challenges is you hire somebody from a big company like Intel or something because they have a great resume,
mm-hmm.
and they come to an entrepreneurial organization and go, "Where's my stuff?
That's right.
Where's my legal? Where's my corner office?
What do you mean you want me to answer the phone?
Right. Where's my 401k? And you're sitting there going, you know, you're going to have to roll your shirt sleeves. We do everything around here.
Yeah.
And
we wear all the hats.
Yeah. So, and then the third one is delegate, don't abdicate. And that refers to how you take advantage of the people you bring in. You have to bring in people that you can entrust with bigger and bigger decisions. And the reason you want to do that is that you can make bigger and bigger decisions with your time. There's a wonderful anecdote here, which is the rule of 1920. You have 1920 work hours in your year, and you want to make $1 million a year, you've got to make $500 an hour decisions.
Right.
What that means is that you can't be fixing copy machines. You can't be doing low-level work. You have to constantly be improving the time and the energy that you, what you do with your time and the value of your time. So hiring people that you can delegate work to.
Joe John, I'm going to have to stop you because we're coming up on the end of the thing. But I know you're going to come back and be with us another day, aren't you?
You bet. I'd love to.
Joe John Duran, ladies and gentlemen, our new friend. Thank you, Joe John. Give us the website again.
www.startitsellit.com.
Check it out, folks. Got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners. This is Jim Blasingame. I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.